the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
If you'd like to turn with me in the green Bibles in front of you for our short reading from Galatians, we are continuing to look at the fruit of the Spirit and thinking about Paul's writing to the church in Galatia and what that means for us today. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, and I'm going to read actually to the end of the chapter, verse 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Well, we've been working our way through that list in verses 22 and 23, and we've arrived at goodness and faithfulness. The slob stuff is gentleness and self-control. Goodness and faithfulness tonight. And I don't know about you, but these are words we frequently hear in church, aren't they? Good, faithful. But we're going to just have a look a little bit about what the Bible has to say about being good and some of the motivations for that. And also think quite a lot about how that works out in our daily routines. Back in 2001, Nick Hornby wrote a book, How to Be Good. Now, I haven't read it because I'm not a great book reader. But just the quick synopsis is it's about a chap who wants to know how to be good. What do I need to do in order to live a good life? What things should I do? How should I behave? What club should I be part of? He starts off all sorts of charitable acts and so on. And he's got this desire to be good. Something in him wants to be good. Or maybe when you think of goodness, you think of somebody like Mother Teresa, somebody who is continually, out of the love and goodness of her heart, sharing, or has shared, obviously she died back in the 1990s, shared her life with the people who were poor and in need. And you're thinking, I could never do that. That sort of goodness is just way beyond me. I've just got enough of my own life to lead. Never mind thinking about that as well. Or maybe you remember the days when either you were in Scouts or maybe your children were in Scouts or Cubs or Brownies, whatever. The Cub Scout law says this: Cub Scouts always do their best, think of others before themselves, and do a good turn every day. Do a good turn. Is that what being good is about? That one extra thing, a good turn every day. Just one. Don't go overboard. Don't do too much. One is enough, and you can be a good Cub Scout. Paul is writing to these Galatians and saying, the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Is it the things we try and do? Is it just giving our whole lives to serving a particular group of people? Is it a good turn every day? Well, I think it might be something different to that. It's not just do-gooding. It's different to that. Last week, Pam was talking to us about kindness. And Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 7, she quoted this verse from Paul again, where he says about kindness. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God expressed his kindness to us in an action. God expressed his kindness. His attitude was kindness, but it took the form of an action. God doesn't just say, I love you, I feel kind towards you. He enacted that kindness in good works, in Jesus Christ coming to be our Saviour, our Lord, and our friend. There's plenty of links between these fruits of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, faithfulness we're going to look at. We should be looking to develop this whole rounded character, not just going, well, I think I'm for joy. I like a smile, I'm for joy. The rest of it, I can leave. Or I'm for goodness, but patience, nah, that's not for me. The fruit of the Spirit is a rounded character and personality. So whilst we're talking tonight about goodness and faithfulness, we're thinking of them in the whole of what we've been thinking about over the series. If kindness is about an attitude towards others, then goodness is about an action towards others. John Stott puts it like this: kindness is a question of disposition, goodness of words and deeds. I think it's really nicely put, isn't it? Really simple thing. I might have a good intention, but do I act out of my capacity to do something about it? Or do I just sit with that good intention, which is a good thing, but do I turn it into goodness? So how is goodness described in the Bible? What sort of things do we read about that tell us what goodness looks like? Well, first of all, it's described in the character of God. Here we are in Exodus 33. God's character is good. The Lord is talking to Moses and says, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, all of it, all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God reveals himself. My goodness will pass in front of you, he says. So right in the heart of who God is goodness. The Bible tells us, so goodness is not just an action. It's actually something about personality as well. There is something about who we are and identity. And also, in Psalm 23, well-known verses, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness, his attribute of goodness, will go with us. Somehow he will accompany us through life. Goodness is also described in the actions of God. We looked at it in Ephesians 2 already, but in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, another message about salvation and kindness expressed. When the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God's goodness, God's kindness expressed in the action of Christ coming for us. These were not God going, I'll do a good deed today. They were not God being a Cub Scout. This is an expression of his character. His actions again, we've already looked at this in Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, where he came and showed his kindness to us. What about in Jesus we see actions? Peter is talking to people in Joppa as the gospel is spreading out through the wider regions of the Middle East. And he describes who Jesus Christ is. And he says this: we have heard how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Jesus. Of all the things Peter could have said about Jesus, just think how well Peter knew Jesus. Of all the things he said he was filled with the Spirit and he went about doing good. Jesus was known for doing good. He was known for his teaching, the authority and all that. But Peter chose here to proclaim the good news of Jesus, who went around doing good and healing people. And we also see goodness in the life of the church. Again, in the same place, only a few verses earlier in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. It's written as though almost that's her middle name, Dorcas, who was always doing good. Sort of flows together. It was part of her. Dorcas, who was always doing good. That's her reputation in the church. And that was just one example of what she did, of who she was. She actually was famous for making robes and clothes and caring for people day in, day out. So goodness comes from God and his character, his actions towards us, expressed in Jesus, expressed in his actions, and expressed in the life of the church. It's part of what it means to be God's people. Goodness isn't a bolt-on. It's not an extra. It's not a good deed every day. The Bible's really clear. The goodness is something about who we are. What about faithfulness? Well, when I think of faithfulness, I sometimes think of a dog and a bone. A faithful friend. Going to fetch, fetch, fetch. Loyalty. But actually, faithfulness isn't about that, is it? Faithfulness in the Christian sense is about the faithfulness of God, about the character of God, the loyalty of God staying with us. Well-known verses from Lamentations. because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness to us, day in, day out. Lamentations is in the midst of suffering. It's lamenting the sadness of Jerusalem. But yet, these people are holding on to the faithfulness of God. It starts with who he is, not with our strength and ability to hold on. What about the faithfulness of people? Well, Proverbs has plenty to say about faithfulness of people. Here's one verse. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find? Faithful people are precious. People who will stand by you in difficult times, not fair weather friends, not people who are going to pass by when things get tough. Faithfulness like God's faithfulness in difficult times, reflecting the character of God. And it's not just about loyalty. Faithfulness in the Bible has this idea of integrity, of trustworthiness, somebody who will stand firm. Daniel is often cited as a high integrity, trustworthy person, somebody who, in the face of opposition, stood his ground. When challenged to compromise his beliefs, he was faithful to God for all he believed in, all he wanted to do and stand for. And he put God to the test, in a sense, didn't he? He said, give us this food and we will still be okay. We will not look weak and we will not be pallid advisors. And actually, they were healthy advisors and they did a great job. They were faithful to God, not just standing firm, but actually trustworthy, spoke fair words, good words. They were people who were ethical, people who were faithful to truth. So faithful isn't just about being a yappy dog, always there when you need him. It's about declaring truth, being reliable, being somebody who is just like God is, dependable in the difficult situations, giving us the truthful message we need to hear when we need to hear it. Well, that's great definitions, but why bother? Well, I think there are several reasons for doing that. First of all, as I've already suggested, we reflect God's character. We looked at it in Galatians 5. We bother because actually we keep in step with the Spirit. We're walking alongside God. We're not bothering because we've made a Cub Scout law or because we think, oh, got to be good. But actually, because we have known mercy, we show mercy. Because we have known grace, we show grace. Because we have been experiencing goodness, we show goodness. So we do it out of reflecting God's character. But we also respond to God's blessing. We don't do good things in order to be good. God has made us good. That's what we were singing about, the cross and about Jesus. Jesus gives us, through the sacrifice he has made, his perfection. That's what the good news is. God sees Jesus' goodness when he looks at us. So our response is to be good, but we don't have to go around thinking, must be good, because otherwise God won't love me. God has shown his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not when we became good enough, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this psalm says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and endure safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is about living in the land God has already given, responding to his blessings already shown to us. Both faithfulness and goodness are lived out in response to what God has done in our lives. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, that's fine, I can think of good works, but I haven't got time to do good works. I don't know when I've got time to do that in my life. Have you been a parent this week? Have you been looking after other people's children, maybe? Have you had people around for dinner this week? Have you given some money to charity? Maybe even you didn't know, you didn't empty your pockets. Maybe a standing order has gone out this week to a charity, and you didn't even clock it. Isn't that a good work? In part of your daily routines? What about the workplace? What about sending a text to somebody when they need a word of encouragement, or sharing a coffee with somebody. What moments have there been this week? Just take a moment now and think, what simple things have there been in my week where I can thank God for the opportunity to reflect his character? Just caring for somebody. Giving generously. Having a moment for a word of conversation. On your blue card you were handed on the way in, mine's on a little stick here, there's a little pot if you want to put them in somewhere, you can get spares of that. We've put on this one, rather than putting look back, look to the week ahead and how are you going to be good or faithful, the reflection on here is thank God for the chances to be good and faithful this past week. List one or two of them. Thank God for the opportunities you've had to be good, to reflect his character. To reflect his character to other people. It's in the daily routines of life that we do that. Maybe when you're serving a client at work, or maybe when you're fixing something for somebody at work, maybe when you're dealing with a request from your boss, maybe when you're finishing a project and writing up that report that no one else wants to do, you know, that end of project review, maybe when you're writing an essay, maybe when you've got to go to a tutorial, maybe when you're helping somebody who doesn't understand a piece of work and you just take time to talk to them. Aren't they all good things? Aren't they all good things? Sometimes I wonder whether we think good works are bolt-ons. They're the things we do on top of our everyday life. But actually, our character, the fruit of the Spirit, is to live out every day the goodness of God in our everyday routines. Not extra stuff, everyday stuff. We exercise faithfulness and goodness by just turning up on time, by being kind and thoughtful to people, by doing the stuff that is part of our everyday lives, reflecting God's character. So this week, who's going to put out the bins in your house? This week, who's going to fix the broken washing line or clear the drains of those leaves that have been gathering over the last few weeks? Or listen to the highs and lows of the day when someone comes home from work. Or at work, this week, how could you share the load with somebody? How could you look out for somebody in their workplace or their situation? And not just in our circumstances and our work and our homes, but what about the wider world? This week, could you buy something for the food bank in your daily routine of going to the shops? An act of goodness. How difficult is that? A good act, part of your routines. Reflecting something of the generosity of God. Talk to the person selling the big issue rather than looking at your feet. Hi, how are you? You okay? Got somewhere to sleep tonight? You don't have to buy a big issue. Just talk. Just take that moment. Write a letter to a child you sponsor, maybe, if you're part of the Compassion Sponsor a Child thing or whatever it might be. How about voting on Thursday? Is it Thursday for the commissioner's vote? How about voting on Thursday? Doing some good in our society. Yeah, we have an opportunity to vote. Freedom to do so. That's an act of goodness. Yeah? Simple things. Just doing those daily routines that God gives before us every single moment. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It talks about God giving us works to do. He saved us, he says. It's grace you've been saved through faith, verse 8. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, excuse me, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we're saved for service. And these good works are just there, waiting to be done. And they're actually your vocation, your calling. Whatever it is you're doing, whether you're a student, whether you're in employment, whether you're a carer, whether you're at home with children or just home with using your time in a different way to employment, God has created good works for you to do. It doesn't have to be an extra. It doesn't have to be a burden. It doesn't have to be a duty. The reality is sometimes, though, we may well grow weary. And Paul knows that. Paul encourages us at the end of Galatians. Let us not become weary, he says, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I think that's why faithfulness and goodness go together. Because the reality is sometimes, well, maybe this isn't you, sometimes I just think, I'm so tired, I just want to go and sit down. I don't want to do anything today. Not any of my normal routines. Nothing. I just want to stop. I'm growing weary. And that happens when I look inside and I stop looking to Jesus. That happens when I pay attention to me and not attention to Jesus. That happens when I forget all that Christ has done for me and I think, oh, I'm tired. I need a rest. I need looking after. And I forget what God has done in Jesus. I find myself thinking, oh, those cups need washing up again. Why didn't the last person to go home last night do that? I was the last person to go home last night. You know, sometimes we get weary, but let's encourage one another. Let's encourage each other so that we will reap a harvest in our daily routines, in our home groups, in our life groups. Can we talk about these sort of things? What sort of stuff have we enjoyed doing that is good this week? As we come to a close, can I draw your attention to the good and faithful servant? Matthew 25 has this parable, which is probably well known about the... Jesus talks about the servants who are given talents. And as I was preparing this, it was just that phrase, goodness and faithfulness. And the parable finishes when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. So what are the characteristics of people who are good and people who are faithful? Well, I think there are just two of them I want to draw our attention to. They use God-given gifts, the talents they've been given, they use in everyday activity. The parable doesn't say off they went with these talents and evangelized lots of people or went and did great miracles. It just says they doubled the money. They doubled the money. With the skills that they had and the money they were given, they doubled it. Using God-given talents every day again. To be a good and faithful servant, we use the talents God has given us. We don't need to be extraordinarily special people. God has created every single one of us with talents and abilities to do good. And it's part of our everyday activity. It's part of all that we do together and all that we do when we're scattered. Peter writes to some Christians who are scattered across what we now know as Turkey. And he writes this. He talks about who they are and then how they'll be known. And with this I'll finish. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So that's who we are. Dear friends, then, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Out of who we are, we serve so that God, who made us who we are, will get the glory.